Peace. Good morning, everyone. Hey, want to welcome you here this morning. If you're a guest, we especially want to welcome you. If you're watching online or listening to the podcast, my name is Steve. I'm one of about 250 missionaries that call ourselves the Lakewood Church here. And so we're glad to have you here with us this morning. One of the things that we talked about last week, we said that this is not just a church that gathers, but it's a church that goes. And Dylan Tucker, perfect example of that, right? And so here he is. We're sending. We're a sending church as well as a gathering church. And we'd love to have you become a part of this family here with us. Let me ask you something. Can you think of a time when you were unprepared for something? A time maybe when something caught you by surprise? You know, maybe it was a pop test. Or maybe it was an unexpected bill. Maybe it was an unexpected diagnosis. But maybe it was something really good, you know? Maybe it was something like a proposal that caught you by surprise. Or maybe it was a surprise birthday party. Can you think of something that kind of caught you off guard, caught you by surprise, a little unexpected? I was talking with Travis here earlier this morning, and he was sharing something that actually fit right in with this lesson today. So I thought I would have him come up here because he had an unexpected little surprise that happened just recently, right? Travis, come up here and tell us about that.
So this was just yesterday. went to a concert that was honoring, in addition to just being a concert on its own, it was honoring one of my favorite colleagues that I've ever worked with. Her name is Stacy. And we celebrated her, and I kind of thought to myself after the reception that was honoring her, like, you know, it'd be really good to take Stacy out to dinner. So Emily and I were like, yeah, let's do that. So I texted Stacy, and she responds and says, we don't have any plans, so yeah, let's do dinner. What's a good time? How about 6, Colorado Mills? And Stacy lives down like I-25 in Hamden. So I'm like, wow, that's very nice of Stacy to drive all the way up here to meet us who live on the northwest side of town. It's very nice of her. So, okay, 6 o'clock, Bonefish Grill. We'll do it. we're looking forward to this time to continue our celebration. And we're sitting there, and all of a sudden I see, one of the texts was, do you mind if I bring Wanda? And so I'm like, Wanda? Who's Wanda? I don't know Wanda. I've known Stacy for 10 years, but I don't know who Wanda is. And so, as we're standing there at Bonefish Grill, a little after 6 o'clock, I see Stacy Smith of Booth and Master of All Trades fame here at the Lakewood Church of Christ and Wanda Smith walk in. And I think, wow, you know, I just saw them like a month ago. Emily and I were out to dinner out back and saw them. And I was like, this is kind of weird that we're running into them again. And they walk in the door, and we chatted up for a little bit. They didn't sign in. Stacy says, hey, did you reserve a table or whatever? And I'm like, yeah, but I was talking about, you know, for my group. And about 10 minutes in, I asked Stacy, you know, hey, did you put your name in? And I was suspiciously, we have not seen the other Stacy, whose name is also Stacy Smith. That Stacy Smith has not shown up yet, normally is very punctual. And so Stacy says, I can't remember how he said it, but something about joining you at the table, and I was kind of, oh, this is awkward. Like, he wants to join us at our table, and my friends don't know you. So I said, like, oh, we just have a table for 4, sorry. and wasn't really sure how to navigate that whole situation. And then finally, at some point, Stacy realizes, who knows, that I've spent the entire year terrified that I was going to send a wrong email or a text to the Stacy Smith. This is the first time it actually happened. And so he says, you invited the wrong Stacy Smith. And so turned out that we didn't invite the wrong Stacy Smith because we got to hang out with Stacy and Wanda, and it was awesome, an unexpected dinner time together. So that was last night.
Wow, so I just thought that was just so perfect when we're talking about surprises and unexpected things. You know, I I can't follow that, really. I mean, the most recent example for me that I could think of an unexpected surprise was, today, because Adam and Brianna were supposed to be preaching today. And as it turns out, you may know that their kids are back in the hospital again, and I found out yesterday that they weren't going to be able to preach, and so I am here to fill in for Adam and Brianna today, and so that was a bit of a surprise for me as well. But you know, that's okay. I don't mind. I love to share the Word of God, and I want to take just a moment right now just to pray for the Patterson family. So, Father, there are a lot of things that happen down here that we just really don't understand why, and they are trials to us, Lord. And one of those right now is just the situation with Adam and Brianna's kids, Creed and Riker, and they just seem to spend a lot of time with the doctor in the hospital with their breathing problems. And Father, we pray that you would cure them, that you would heal them from this. And they wouldn't have to see doctors anymore. And Lord, we pray for Adam and Brianna. I mean, I know Brianna was also not feeling very well, and so ask you to heal her and be with Adam as he tries to take care of all those in his family right now and give him the strength and endurance that he needs. Lord, we love them. We thank you for bringing them to us, and we ask your blessings on them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, so as I was kind of reflecting on what I might share with you today, I was reminded of an article that I came across here recently in the last week or so. And speaking of surprises, this might come as a surprise to some of you, but according to this article, tomorrow, April 23rd, will be the end of the world. Yeah. So that made the news. It was in the article. Surprise! Okay. A fellow by the name of David Mead told the United Kingdom's Daily Express that tomorrow the Sun, Moon, and Jupiter will be in Virgo. He claims that the Sun, Moon, and Jupiter represent Jesus, the Messiah. And Virgo represents the woman that we read about in Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth." So Mr. Mead claims that this is a sign of the coming of Christ and the end of the world, and that he's been able to pin that down because of the constellations. It's going to happen tomorrow. Now, of course, he also predicted that the same thing would happen last October. October 15th, to be exact. And that didn't quite happen. And of course, he's not the only one who's made such predictions. There was another fellow by the name of Chris McMahon. He claimed that the world would be destroyed by fire on October 7th, 2015. When it didn't happen, McMahon said it was, quote, surprising, unquote. It was also predicted that the world would come to an end on December 21st, 2012, in what would be called the Mayan Apocalypse. Maybe some of you remember that. Another preacher named Harold Camping convinced so many people that the world was going to be destroyed on May 21st, 2011, that they quit their jobs and gave away their money. And when the world was still very much here on May 22nd, he changed his prediction from May 21st to October 21st. And when that didn't happen, he apologized, which is good. Right? Another preacher by the name of Robertson, in a book called The New Millennium, predicted the world would end on April 29th, 2007. And, of course, a lot of people said the world would come to an end on January 1st, 2000. How many of you remember Y2K? All right? Okay. So there have been a lot of predictions. I could go on and on with this. They've been happening throughout the ages. But since the most recent prediction is for the final coming of Jesus to be tomorrow, then I thought I might want to, you know, give you some time to get prepared for that and to think about that this morning. And I say that partly tongue-in-cheek and partly not. You see, these guys, they do get at least one thing right here. What is it that they're getting right? Jesus is coming back at some time. That's right. But what is it that they're getting wrong? What's the wrong part? Yeah, trying to pin Jesus down to a certain day or time. Although I have, in my own study of the Scripture, figured out through certain decoding that Jesus will definitely come back on either a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. So, yeah, think about that one for a minute. Well, I'm kind of having a little fun at these guys' expense, but I would also say that what they're doing is actually a little dangerous in some ways. This particular prediction that was made that I mentioned about May 21st, 2011, I remember seeing this billboard here in Denver. Any of you remember seeing that at all? No? Yeah, I remember seeing it. Yeah, some of you do. Here's the thing. Not only is that incorrect, that Judgment Day, May 21st, 2011, but look at the little seal up in the corner. What does that say? The Bible guarantees it. How many people do you think are really familiar with their Bibles out there? So when they see something like this, and it doesn't happen, it really brings discredit to the Word of God. And so in that case, it's really kind of a serious thing, and it makes them doubt anything else that the Bible might have to say. So why don't we take a look this morning and see what God's Word actually does say about the return of the King. You know, Jesus himself says that he will return, but this is also what he says, Matthew. He says, "No one knows the day or hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself, only the Father knows." You think we might learn something from that one right there, right? And try not maybe predicting certain days and hours and times like that. We don't know the hour or the time, Jesus says. He says he doesn't even know it when he was making the statement, at least, when that was going to be. Others have, he goes on to say, actually, that when the Son of Man, and that's a reference to himself, Jesus, when the Son of Man returns, it's going to be like it was in Noah's day. In those days, before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets, parties, weddings, right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. And that's the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. That's what Jesus tells us. We learn from Acts chapter 1 that when Jesus was getting ready to leave this earth, he'd gathered the apostles around him, and he's giving them his final words. And after saying a few things to them, giving them a commission to go and be missionaries, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. Wow. Not an everyday experience. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday, he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." Yes, amen. Amen. Jesus goes on again back in Matthew. Jesus, talking about himself, says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he's going to separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He's going to place the sheep at his right hand. He's going to place the goats at his left. And then the King will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world.' And then the King will turn to those on the left and say, 'Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons.'" Jesus says he is coming back. That is something it's important for us to be prepared for, whether it's tomorrow, whether it's 2 minutes from now, or whether it's 2,000 years. We want to keep in mind the return of the King. The resurrection wasn't the finish, right? Completely. He is going to come back, and there's, according to this, going to be some kind of separation that's going to take place among people. And this separation, you know, for those who are on the right, he says, his right side hand, come, you were blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. Wow. You know, Jesus created the whole, or Jesus, God through Jesus, created the whole universe in like 6 days, it says in Genesis. Can you imagine if he's been working on something since the creation of the world, how good it's going to be? God has something incredible prepared for us. Jesus goes on to say, don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who've done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. But he says, don't be surprised. As Christians, we're not going to be surprised. I mean, is it going to be a little startling? Yeah, I think it will be. If it happens while I'm still alive, while I'm still here on this planet, man, I can't imagine, you know, the transformation that's going to take place in the blink of an eye and how startling that will be. But in another sense, am I going to be surprised? No, not at all, because he's told me ahead of time, this is exactly what's going to happen. And so it's something that I can look forward to as a Christian. I look forward to this kingdom that he's prepared for me since before the creation of the world, that he's prepared for me since before the creation of the world. He's prepared for you. Your names are written in heaven. And that's something that we can look forward to. Paul talks about this as well. He says, you know, just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. And what I'm saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies, they can't inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies, they can't inherit what's going to last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet's blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies, they must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. And then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, the scripture will be fulfilled. It says, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? It doesn't exist for the Christian. It doesn't exist. I like what Paul says in Thessalonians as well. He says, we tell you this directly from the Lord. Directly from the Lord. We who are still living, when the Lord returns, will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And first, the believers who've died will rise from their graves, and then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and there we will be with the Lord forever. Encourage each other with these words, he says. And that's what I want to do this morning. These are encouraging words. We're going to have immortal spiritual bodies of some sort that are never going to wear out. They're never going to grow old. No more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow. Someday, No more shootings. No more suicides. No more cancer. No more. No more loneliness. No more depression. No more anxiety. No more injustice. No more violence. No more darkness. And no more despair. Just peace and joy and happiness. Someday. But exactly how and exactly when will that happen? Well, Paul anticipated that question, and he continues here to the Thessalonians. He says, now concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, he says, we don't really need to write to you. Thanks a lot, Paul. I mean, he brought us right up to the brink, you know. Talk about a cliffhanger. But he says, you know, we don't really need to go into all that because you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything's peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin, and there will be no escape, no escape. That's only, though, for those who haven't put their faith in the Lord Jesus. For us, well, you're not in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. You don't belong to the darkness. You don't. It no longer has a hold on you. You are no longer a slave to darkness or fear or the night. You're children of God. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Be on your guard. Be prepared. Stay alert. Be clear-headed. Night's the time when people sleep, drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected. Protected by the armor of faith. The armor of love. And wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. Amen. The confidence of our salvation. I think I've told you before, in the church I grew up in, if you ask somebody, hey, are you going to heaven when you die? They would say, what? I hope so. What a lousy, feeble thing to say. You can know that you're going to heaven. If you want to have that confidence and you don't know how to get it, talk to me afterwards. I will be out there by that booth out there in the foyer. I'll be happy to talk to you about it. You can have absolute confidence and assurance of your salvation. It's not based on you or how good you are. It's based on Jesus Christ. And I can assure you that his righteousness is sufficient, right? And his grace is greater than your sin. These are encouraging words. You know, what Paul's telling us is that God wants us to take an eternal perspective on things. He goes on to say that God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. It is an eternal perspective, and that's so important that we understand that. When you look at things in the light of eternity, you know what it changes? Everything. It changes absolutely everything. I mean it. Even the smallest of things. Let's take some of the smallest of things. For example, it changes how you react when you're driving in Denver traffic. When you take an eternal perspective on things. It changes that inconvenience in light of eternity. It changes how you handle chronic illness when you look at things in the light of eternity. It changes how you handle heartbreak over things that happen here. It changes the way that you look at money and how money is going to be used by you. It changes how you look at other people and how intentional you're going to be, especially if it's someone who's not accepted Jesus Christ yet, and that we want to have the same joys that we're going to have. It changes the way that you look at success in this life. It changes the way that you look at retirement in this life. It changes the way that you look at your possessions. It changes the way that we look at our marriages. It changes the way that we look at how we raise our children. If you're looking at things in the light of eternity and the things that really matter, none of this is going to be here. It's going to be gone. We want to put our emphasis on the things that are not just temporary, but the things that are eternal. When we begin to get that really fixed in our hearts and our minds, these other inconveniences and things that we experience, they just aren't as big. It experiences how we arrange and manage our schedules when we live in the light of eternity. It influences how we handle temptations when we live in the light of eternity, and the way that we handle offenses against us, the way that we forgive others. All this changes in the light of eternity. This is the way Paul says it. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus. And he's going to present us to himself together with you. And all of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people through you 250 missionaries, there will be great thanksgiving. Do you want to increase thanksgiving? Go reach out to those that don't have heaven in their future right now. And God will receive more and more glory if you will do that. He goes on to say, that's why we never give up. We never give up. Though our bodies are dying, yeah, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles that we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that we can't see. For the things that we see now will soon be gone. But the things that we can't see, that's what's going to last forever. Yeah. The things that we see now will soon be gone. Soon we will see the Lord more clearly than we ever have before. I'm going to try something. I wasn't planning on doing this necessarily, but I'm going to give it a shot because I'm feeling a Travis thing kind of coming on. Sing with me, okay? Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. And I'll be singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. And I'll be singing hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying, no more or dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying, no more dying there. We are going to see the King. And I'll be singing hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King soon and very soon and very soon. We are going to see the King soon and very it's true, soon and very
soon.
We are going to see the King and we'll be singing hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Doesn't it just feel good to know that and to sing that? Yeah, doesn't it? Okay, I'm on a roll. I'm going to do one more and then we're going to quit. Okay? You may not know this one, I don't know, but you can pick it up pretty quick, all right? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? Don't you want to go to that land? Oh, don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? There's nothing but joy in that land, nothing but joy in that land, nothing but joy in that land where I'm bound. Nothing but joy in that land, nothing but joy in that land, nothing but joy in that land where I'm bound. There's nothing but peace in that land, nothing but peace in that land, nothing but peace in that land where I'm bound. Nothing but peace in that land, nothing but peace in that land, nothing but peace in that land where I'm bound. And I've got a Savior in that land. Yes, I've got a Savior in that land. I've got a Savior in that land where I'm bound. I've got a Savior in that land. Yes, I've got a Savior in that land. I've got a Savior in that land. To that land, don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? Oh, don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? Don't you forget that, because Peter tells us, I want to remind you, he says, that in the last days, scoffers are going to come. They're going to be mocking the truth, and they're going to be following their own evil desires. And they're going to say, what happened to this promise of Jesus of yours that said he was coming again? Looks like things just keep going on the same way to me. That's what they're going to say. But they deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command. He brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water, and then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They're being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. We don't know when it's going to happen. Because a day is like 1,000 years of the Lord, and 1,000 years are like a day. Time doesn't mean anything to him. The Lord isn't really slow about his promise, as some people might think. Now, he's just being patient. Patient for your sake. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. Not one person. He wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. And since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives should you live, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he's going to set the heavens on fire. The elements are going to melt away with flames. But we're looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth that he's promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, while you're waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. And remember our Lord's patience. It gives people time to be saved if we'll be those 250 missionaries that he's called us to be. So, next steps. This is what I would leave with you today. Number one, don't be anxious about end time predictions. Okay? They're going to come, they're going to go. Do understand that Jesus will return. Don't be anxious about his return because he's got a kingdom prepared for you that he's been working on since before the creation of the world. And live your life with an eternal perspective. And you know what that's going to do for you? It's going to give you a full and abundant life. It's going to give you a joyful outlook, even in the midst of light and momentary sufferings. That's our confident hope in the Lord, and hope changes everything. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time this morning, just to remember that you're coming back, that you haven't left us here alone, but you're going to come back in a way, Father, and this whole system that we know that we're so distracted by and caught up in and that we put so much emphasis on, it's just all going to disappear. And then the real things will be seen. Lord, we long for the eyes to be able to see those more clearly, even right now. Father, we do want to go to that land. We know that you're coming back someday, Lord. We have faith in that. We believe in it. It sustains us, Lord, that someday you will return, Lord. And we're looking forward to that day. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Steve. I hope everybody's feeling edified and excited. I know I am. At this time, I want to invite people that are interested in praying with someone, our shepherds and their spouses, our elders, they're going to be in the back of the auditorium. If you're looking for somebody to pray with about something that's going on in your life, something that you're thinking about, something that you want some help with, whatever it is, whatever, it could be anything. They are there to pray with you and be with you and hold space for you. So you can go there at this time. And also want to encourage you to pass those green connection cards to the center aisles. If you filled one of those out, thank you so much. Maybe one day we should do like a contest where like if 100% of the people turn in connection cards, we all get ice cream the next Sunday. Kenzen? I'm not buying it, but I just could that be a thing? Let's pray about that. So we're going to close with a song of longing and a song of confidence. A song of longing for the day and a song of confidence. And I want to invite you all to please stand with me as we sing these next two songs.
Gotta be ready when he calls my name. Gotta be ready when he calls my name. Someday.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
One more time without my help, go.
Our God.
See you next time.